Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba in the Bloom, episode 192. Continuing our steamer discussion for the 2025 baseball season, this time heading to the plate, talking about some WRC plus risers and fallers compared to 2025 steamer and the 2024 production. We'll have some fun there. We enjoyed doing the ERA talk last Thursday, so we'll get this one covered for you here. Again, hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving. That was fun. We are in December now, so to get things ready for that, you know, pretty soon positional previews around the corner. But first off, find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at Ryan BHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
We're good. Just got back from the weekend on the coast and started my first. We did the meatball draft and hold in August and October, but started my first reel with actual prep draft champions on Monday. So I am in the draft room. We are good, and things are rolling.
Good. It's about time. It's about time you joined the party.
I waited till, you know, there's phrases out there. No blank November. I did no draft November, except for our gladiator. I did no draft November. So I accomplished my goal.
And I want to see if everyone can fill in the blank on that one, by the way. Just throwing that out there. See where it goes.
Family show.
Very, very true. But you got me on a tailspin already. But we're here for WRC Plus Talk 2025. Hot stove is heating up. You know, did you guys see Juan Soto join Celsius last week? That was fun. That was good. You know,
they're kind of like a de facto. We joke about High Noon being a sponsor, but basically every show you have a Celsius can and it shows up on our screen. So kind of thought about using them as a sponsor, but
I think as much as I promote them, I'd hope we'd get a little love from the Juan Soto sweepstakes. That'd be cool, but appreciate it. But we'll see. But hopefully everyone's drafting, having a good time, prepping for 2025. Hope you guys had fun checking out the PDF version of the forecast. We hit on that on the last episode, but you've had some more time to let it breathe, hopefully. So how about this? Let us know, what was your favorite part so far? What's the first thing you looked at in the forecast?
And first player, too.
Hit us up at the at Bubba Bloom Pod on Twitter. Let us know what you looked at there, and get the ball rolling in that regard as well. All right, like we talked about, we're talking WRC plus 2025 to 2024, Ryan. When we're looking at your wonderful board you put together, what should we be looking at?
All right. So along a similar vein to ERA, I wanted to use, and if folks don't know what WRC plus is, it stands for weighted runs created. And the plus is the nice part of it. The plus means average is 100. This is for like cavemen here. The average is 100. League average is 100. It's all scale. So that's why it's so nice. That's why I like to use it and kind of use it on shows. As you can see, 102 is slightly better than average. Aaron Judge had a 218 WRC plus last year. That's more than twice as good as average. It's just an easy, single, quick number scaled to 100 that you can kind of use. And it's not a perfect kind of, doesn't correlate perfectly with fantasy value, but it is a number. The formula is extremely complicated, but it's basically just one number that judges your offensive production. And so it's a really nice, just in terms of like for projections like this, it's good to be able to compare that number. If it's really high, really low, whatever, versus previous years, you can kind of see if that projection is better or worse. I think where it falls a little short in terms of fantasy is the stolen base guys, right? Your stolen base guys are going to be more valuable in fantasy than you will get on like a WRC plus number. But again, if I have to look at one number for just offensive real life production, it's WRC plus. I also use it. It's on our minor league leaderboards that are available on as part of the Patreon that you have access to. It's also just really good to see if someone in the minors is producing above or below value for that level. You can just look at WRC plus, and it's the same scale, 100 average. So I like to use it in that aspect as well. Do you know the formula, Bubba?
I do not know the formula, but I do love how it's real simple, because even my brain remembers better than 100, we're good. Lower than 100, we got some flaws. So makes my life a lot easier. And when I do small samples for a lot of my content in season, a guy that's like got a monster WRC plus through like a 2-week span, they've been having a heck of a run, and it supports the cause. But what is the formula, Mr. Genius over there?
I don't know the exact formula, but it does. It blends on base. It's kind of like it's kind of like OPS. Think of it like OPS, where it blends your ability to get on base, so your batting average and on base, along with raw power with your slugging. OPS. I thought about throwing OPS up here, but I just think for listeners, for viewers, if you're viewing on YouTube, it's harder to kind of mentally gauge what a league average OPS is versus just 100 WRC plus. So it's just a one catch all level of offense. And it's weighted too. So like a triple is worth more than a double is worth more than a single is worth the same as a walk, and a homer is worth more than all. So it takes all that into account into the one number.
So yeah, so you get a little, like I'm just roughly, it takes like weighted runs above average, league runs, on average, park factors, it factors all that in and divides it by the AL or the NL sit average, basically. It's the easiest way I can put it. I didn't want to go over the whole thing because I pulled it up on Fangraphs in the glossary here, and it's a beast. Yes. So I was kind of giving you the basics, and like you mentioned, a key part I think is singles, doubles, triples, homers are all weighted differently, because we can talk about a lot of guys that are like singles hitters that won't have a high WRC plus, like, and that makes a lot of, we're going to talk about Kyber Ruiz. Dude's got a below 100 even projected WRC plus. We know he's a good hitting catcher, but the power is lacking. So that checks out as well. So it's kind of like, it doesn't say it in the formula, but you mentioned like OPS, which is on base plus slugging. So I think that's very, the slugging aspect of it gives it the boost, I think, quite a bit in that regard. Yep. So even my caveman brain can figure that out, folks. All right, let's talk about it. Let's start with the hitters here on the green side of things, the ones that are projected to have a boost in WRC plus from 2024. And we're going to start with Christopher Morel, because I was a big Christopher Morel fan last year. Things, you know, he had some really good moments and it just petered out, went to Tampa Bay. Not much going on there. Probably worse, actually, in Tampa Bay. 82 WRC plus last year. Still pretty good, but that's a factor of how much power he had. It's well below average, but pretty good for the season he had fantasy-wise, is what I'm trying to say, because in the end, the dude hit a buck 96, but the power at least kind of kept it up a bit. Projected for a WRC plus, like you have down here, for 111, which would be outstanding. I'm just having a tough time coming back to that.
Yeah, I mean, and the reason why is because the track record's there, right? Like, and all these guys that are projected for, that's what a projection's going to do. And anyone that's projected to approve like this, A, either had like skills much better than their results in 2024, or that was not Morel's case, or in Morel's case, a track record that says, okay, you're just going to rebound from a down year. I can see it with Christopher Morel. I think if you're kind of giving up on Morel, this is just going to be his age 26 season. So I think you can kind of give him a mulligan for a bad year if you're going to play that rebound card. My biggest issue with Morel is the playing time going to be there. It's really hard to kind of tell that, you know, in December what that's going to look like. But as of current, Christopher Morel, it does not have a starting gig and did not really play much down the stretch for the Rays. So that's my biggest, that's my biggest concern with Christopher Morel. But if I can look past the playing time, that the nice thing about Morel is he does qualify it. He's eligible at second and third base, can play pretty much anywhere. So there are multiple paths for him to get playing time. I think if that happens, the track record's there. The park should be nicer at Steinbrenner Field. At least the batting eye should be a little bit more hitter friendly.
So did you hear about the schedule though?
Yeah. You put that in the Discord the other day.
It's like 57 of the first 60, give or take, games are at home. And then the second half of the year is essentially on the road. Like, it's insane. I'll pull up the exact.
It makes sense, but it's nuts. Like, it makes sense to like not play in the Florida death heat and rain in the summertime and get it out of the way.
Yeah, Sacramento early, found still a way to do it. Just throwing it out there. 47 of the first 59 games are at home. 69 of the final 103 are on the road. And if you broke it down even more, it's pretty crazy. Like 13 of the first 16 are at home. It's basically a very front loaded, new quote unquote beneficial hitting stadium, which was also said to be, it's a mimic of Yankee Stadium. So it's more beneficial to lefties anyways. But, then they're going to be on the road a lot. They're going to be living out of suitcases a lot. This is going to be a very interesting situation. I think even more so worse than what Toronto went through in the COVID season.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, definitely.
Well, they were still on the road technically because they weren't in Toronto for their home games, but at least they had a place they could call home for a period of time, I guess, like an apartment.
They had two places, right? They had Dunedin and Buffalo, didn't they?
Yeah, so they at least got to finagle it a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's going to be – that's definitely an interesting wrinkle with not only just Morel, but all the Rays. I price-wise – he's going next to Jonathan India's, maybe not the best comp because that's a pre-trade Jonathan India ADP. Carlos Correa, Ryan McMahon, Noelvi Marte at third base. That's where Morel is going in November drafts, right around 260. So the price is pretty cheap. The batting average is not going to be there, but I think the power speed, I think there's still something there with him.
Yep, very much so. Kaiber Ruiz hinted at him earlier, finished 2024 with a 71 WRC plus. He missed time with a viral infection that made him lose like 30 pounds. Got better as the year went on. I think as he got healthier, one would say, projected for a 99 WRC plus. And weirdly enough, I think, like I said, this is kind of where the power situation comes into play for me. Never a big power guy because he is one of the better quote unquote hitting catchers in baseball, but the power is not enough to maybe boost the WRC plus. Could be wrong. Doesn't do a lot of the run department either. So what's your thoughts on Ruiz? I think 99 is pretty much fine if he's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a league average hitter, which for catcher is, and fantasy wise, that's workable, especially in two catcher leagues. So yeah, I think Kiber Ruiz is one where you can kind of look at a first half, second half split, given, like you said, he lost all this weight and got sick early in the season. Second half, hit 250 with 9 home runs compared to 203 and 4 home runs in the first half. If you, and I think it's fair to kind of extrapolate that out, you basically get something similar to what Ruiz has done. If you kind of average 2022 and 2023 together, you get a, I want to say a good fantasy catcher, but someone who's going to play a ton and not hurt you. And I think where Ruiz is going in drafts, that's especially like in draft and holds where you want that volume. I think Kiber Ruiz is a fine high floor, low ceiling type of guy at a very palatable 213 ADP.
Yep. Nope. I'm 100% on board with you on that one. So I have him as a catcher too, and at least one, if not two, of my three drafts already. So
he's going ahead of your boy at catcher.
Which one of my boys?
Sean Murphy.
I thought I'd say most of my boys are going before him. I know that for a fact. So I was curious where you're going with that.
Sean Murphy is not Bubba's boy.
The anti Bubba's boy, Sean Murphy. Like we'll talk about on the show later this week of the guy I think that's taking Sean Murphy's spot post 500 ADP. So we'll get to that sooner than later.
Really?
There's a tease, folks. There's a tease. All right, Mikel Garcia, the talk of the draft room last March, came out guns blazing in the first month or so, and then disappeared, ending with a 69 WRC plus, not so nice for Mikel Garcia, projected for a 94 WRC plus this year. Here's one of the stolen base guys, Ryan. You mentioned he had 37 steals last year, but only 7 home runs, 84 runs scored, and a 231 average. Did dwindle things, but you know, back in 2023, 4 homers, 23 steals, 272, got at least an 83 WRC plus. I don't know, like 94, I think he's really got to have to max things out, but I could be totally wrong.
Yeah, I think it's all going to be in batting average comeback. I don't think Mikel Garcia is a 230 hitter, which is what he hit last year. I think he's more like 250. The K rate, he actually improved the strikeout rate quite a bit in 2024 and did not get much help at all from BABIP, and still hit a ton of ground balls. Like, this is the kind of the profile for someone that should have pretty decent BABIP, not the 270 or whatever that he hit last season. So even in a quote unquote down year for Mikel Garcia, WRC plus isn't going to capture this as much, like we talked about, with those 37 bags. Like, that's huge for fantasy. So I like Garcia to rebound. My biggest concern with Garcia is, like, he's not leading off anymore.
Nope.
That's going to be a problem, right? Like, I don't think he's going to lead off. Like, I think they got Jonathan India. The Royals got India to lead off. And the Royals likely for too long last year held Mikel Garcia, who, again, is not the greatest real-life hitter in the world, held him in leadoff for much too long. So I don't think you're getting the 600-plus plate appearance floor that you might get in previous years with Mikel Garcia. That's my one drawback with Garcia.
Yeah, the big fantasy push late was Miguel Garcia was going to lead off last year, get on base more, score more runs, steal bases, which he did, but the average did not follow. And yes, Jonathan India and his OBP will trump any Miguel Garcia love in a big, big way. Michael Harris the second, 99 WRC plus last year, projected for 124. I'd love to know what his projection was last year because I bet you it was pretty darn close. As everyone, and once again, projected for 2020, which he's projected for every year, has not hit yet in his career, but it does get the average boost because his average dropped off last year quite a bit. Also, a guy projected for 149 games, Ryan. He's played as much as 138 in his career. So high high game projection, high WRC, or relatively high WRC plus, but first 2020 season projected. They're so far, Steamer, I've noticed, doing a lot of Steamer work so far. A lot of first-time career-type seasons are getting put out there these days.
Harris is so hard, man, because, I mean, this is the last 2 years where the first half has been a disaster, and then you get those kind of peaks of what could be in the second half, and the market loves Michael Harris. He's at a 44 ADP coming off. That's pretty much what he was last year, maybe even earlier. I mean, he might have dropped an ADP a little bit, but Harris, like, couple things. The stolen bases were way down, right? Not only did he miss time, but the stolen base like attempt or the conversion rate was really bad. He was successful like 84-83% of the time his first 2 years, and then 60% last year. I that probably is the hamstring a little bit. I mean, that's what cost Harris 2 months last year, but came back in September and was just awesome again. So I don't know. You are paying for a level of production that he has never done before, and you would be doing that for 2 years in a row with Harris. I'm probably a sucker and I buy in at that price just because I think he's really good, but he has not shown it yet and has not shown the ability to finish a full season.
Yeah, he's been a guy that I've just been passing on in drafts and underdog drafts and DCs. It's just been like, I trust it at his ADP. People are still on board, which makes
like, do you think he's not good, or do you just say you're just worried about the injury history that early?
I think he's good. I'm just worried about we haven't seen him do it, and the people going around him have multiple times. And I've talked about many times, I just want a little more certainty. As much as you can get certainty early in your draft, and that just makes it tricky for me.
Yeah, so, I get it.
By a personal preference thing more than anything, but I think he's good, and one of these years is going to bust out to like a 30-30 year. He is that good, so it'll be interesting. Brian Rocchio, this is where these lists are fun because it's a name many people would just walk right past and be like, what are you doing? I had Rocchio on a ton of DCs last year. It was like my third, fourth shortstop. Like, that was just a thing.
Same.
79 WRC plus last year because he hit 206, which was a bummer. 8 homers, 10 steals, but came on towards the end of the season and played pretty darn good for the Guardians. Projected to have a 102 WRC plus, which is very average, you know, league average, serviceable WRC plus, and should get plenty of run, I think, at the middle infield position, especially shortstop for the Guardians. So this is a fun one to highlight here. What do you got on Brian Rocchio?
Yeah, I mean, I think Steamer is definitely kind of weighing that minor league track record, because Rocchio was a pretty good, pretty highly rated prospect coming out. And last season, finished somewhat strong. I wouldn't even say strong, but finished competently. I had him in draft and hold as well, when like your teams were dead and he was at least playing. Exactly. Yep. And I think that honestly, that's where I land on Rocchio entering 2025. I think he's a great draft and hold guy because the glove is awesome. Cleveland's going to play him pretty much every day. This is one of their top prospects coming up. So I think the playing time is going to be there in fab leagues. I don't see the ceiling yet to make, you know, even a dart throw on Rocchio in the end game. But I think for draft and hold, you're gonna want to get somebody like Rocchio, those types of guys who pile up those plate appearances. I mean, like a 450 ADP, for the number of plate appearances that he's gonna get, that Rocchio is gonna get, I think you sign up for that and just kind of hope that he does what Steamer projects, which is just, you know, grow in year two, which that wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world.
Yeah, the Steamer stat line, I'm 100% on board with. If he finishes with that, we're good. I'd walk away and feel pretty pumped for like double digit homers and steals. Like, sign me up right now. So
exactly. We're good there. Yep.
All right, Jonah Heim, 80 or WRC plus of 70 last year, projected to go back to 92 this year, kind of more in line with the 2022 20 actually even lower than 2022 2023 seasons, but big drop off last year, mainly because you can't, you know, drive in a million runs, and his batting average dropped to 220 once again. What's your thoughts on Jonah Heim? Because I think he's kind of like a Kiber Ruiz with a lower batting average, is the way I see it.
Yeah, that's not great.
No. That's why, like, the 92 WRC plus is, I don't even know if I'm cool with that type thing. Like, I've kind of petered out on Jonah Heim.
Well, yeah, Steamer says, or Steamer at least projects Heim to not be as good as Kiber Ruiz. So I don't know. I mean, I took Heim in our Gladiator as my second catcher, and if you recall, like, I didn't feel that great about it. So I don't know. He's a second catcher that's gonna play, but injuries have derailed things a little bit. I don't know how much of a pass you give him for that. I don't think it's like a total mulligan, but the power was down quite a bit last year, and that's what Steamer's doing. It's saying he's going to at least split the difference between 23 and 24, which is probably safe, but it's not exciting.
Yep, I'm with you. Andrés Giménez, bounce back season. I'm on board with this. They had him at a 83 WRC plus last year in 2024. Steamer projects him for 104, slightly above league average. You know, he had the monster 2022. Serviceable 2023, just fell off the power, only 9 homers last year. Otherwise, the average is in line with 2023, 30 stolen bases for the second straight year. That's all great. So if the power bounces back as Steamer projects, slightly bump a batting average, 104 WRC plus makes sense. And at 26, I wouldn't be surprised if he does it.
Yeah, you covered that pretty well. It was the power just going. The power was never good, but it wasn't death. It wasn't death. So, yeah, everything else fell in place for Giménez. I worry a little bit about the pretty much all of this slide has been against lefties.
Yeah, it's true.
And I don't know at which point Cleveland says, okay, we're just going to start platooning you. That would put a dent in Andrés Giménez's fantasy value. A little too early to kind of speculate on that, but that's just kind of one other thing going against Giménez. But I agree, this was all just a power dip, and if you believe in 2 years of okay power beating 1 year of bad power, then Giménez, this projection makes sense.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So if he can get back to the 13 to 15 homers,
that would be, that's enough.
Glorious. Yeah, I think we're glorious there, which is very doable. The lefty thing is a concern, and again, young, I still hope there's development to be either. Hang out with J-Ram. He's a switch hitter. You figure things out. See how
which
it goes.
Second baseman is he's going like near Bryson Stott.
Yeah, I'd take Andrés over him right now. Easy.
Mascot? Mascot's going a little bit ahead of Giménez.
I still
you
like
that. If you don't feel comfortable.
No, I still like the mascot, and so does Steamer. So if anybody's been bored, go look at that. Oh, boy. Yeah, mascot. Like Steamer quite a bit, or likes the Steamer likes the mascot.
Steamer likes mascot? We got to derail.
You got me, my head spinning talking to mascot.
What do we have for Ring Info?
Let's check it out. They like him.
Wow, they think the power comes back quite a bit. Yep. 17 home runs, 23 steals.
Which prior to the wrist injury, the power was better. So there is a little talk to that. 17 still pretty wild. 17 still pretty wild. Not going to deny that. But
I mean, he had 16 and 17 in the previous two seasons. So
I'm saying so.
No, dude, our boy is going to be. He's going to be famous.
I know. Just remember, we were there first.
That's right.
All right, one we probably don't need to talk about too much because we talked about him enough, and I have already a lot of shares between Underdog and NFBC is Corbin Carroll. I've bought back in, so this one's going to sting if it doesn't pay out. But 107 WRC plus last year, which is still insanely impressive considering how bad fantasy players thought his season was. It finished strong enough to kind of make it not a complete death nail to your team, but they have projected for a 127 WRC plus with if Carroll can bounce back to the Rookie of the Year form, that's pretty easy money in my mind.
Yeah. I mean, this was in the second half, this was the legendary Carroll that we saw in 2023. And I forget exactly where I read it. I should remember, but the shoulder injury thing has kind of been debunked. Like the shoulder is good. In the forecaster, we put an upside of 30 plus home runs on Corbin Carroll. Yeah. I don't think we need to spend too much time on him. He's a stud. I think definite top 10 pick. He could even sneak top 5. And I would say, I know he gets looped in with Julio Rodriguez on a lot of these things just because they were both top 5 picks entering 2024. I would take Carroll over Julio right now.
Yep, I'm with you. We'll get to Julio shortly.
Is he on Julio's, this list?
He's at the bottom.
Oh, there he is.
his I didn't even make the list, folks. His Julio's teammate JP Crawford, coming off a monster 2023 season where hashtag he went to driveline, fell back to earth, back to probably more reality for JP Crawford in 2024 with an 89 WRC plus, 9 homers and 5 steals, but 202 average. That's what really crushed him. I know we said average isn't a major factor, but that's just a complete kerplunk for him. He's projected to be back to a 109 WRC plus. I really don't care too much about Julio Crawford when it comes to fantasy to begin with, but what's your thoughts on this?
I don't either. This is another one I said earlier, how like the stolen base guys get overvalued or undervalued, in these WRC plus things with the projections. JP Crawford, unless you're in an OBP league, he's vastly overvalued. That 109 above average hitter technically is because he gets on base so much, or at least did before 2024. And if you're in a batting average league, that does not help you. So JP Crawford, that 202 batting average, like you mentioned, that could go all the way back to 250. And he's still not really an asset. And that's assuming he stays in the leadoff role. Like there's all these other variables with JP Crawford. Now he's 30. Like I wonder. I mean, he's a tough projection because you do have that 2023 season when JP hit 19 home runs. But man, that thing sticks out like a sore thumb. Before that, it was 6 home runs, 9 home runs, and then 9 last year. Like only season that's double digit home runs. So I kind of look at that season as the outlier. And so yeah, JP Crawford could still improve quite a bit because so much of it is just an on base ability. I'm not interested.
Yep, 100% with you on that. Alex Verdugo, a guy otherwise I'm not really interested in either. A big OBP guy. 83 WRC plus last year, projected for 103. There's already playing time concerns coming in as there's rumors of wanting to play Dominguez or bringing Soto back or so many things there. To me, this is heavily an OBP-based situation.
Yeah, same. I don't like Verdugo.
Yeah, no, I have really nothing to add on him.
Real quick, put you on the spot. I know your answer, but Rocchio versus the same position, basically the
Rocchio
same.
Rocchio over Crawford. Give me Rocchio.
Rocchio versus Crawford. You take Rocchio?
Yeah, I'll take Rocchio.
Rocchio's 448 ADP and Crawford's 400.
So. I like that. I gamble on the youth making an even bigger impact type thing versus the old. So, yeah, I'm there.
Always good to gamble on the youths.
Yep, always gamble on the youths and tell the olds to go to bed. So, nothing wrong with that. MJ Melendez. Now, this one I'm intrigued by because I just keep buying into the underlying metrics. We talked about him so many times on Bloom Boards. MJ Melendez had an 85 WRC plus last year while hitting a whopping 206 with 17 homers and 4 steals. It's been 16 or more homers all 3 years, but the batting average has been less than desirable. Plate discipline fell a little bit in the walk department this past year, but you know the best ISO of his career in a short sample size, horrific BABIP this past year, but they haven't projected for a 105 WRC plus. And it's like, I know he's better than he's been, but is it worth diving back into? If it's a 105 WRC plus, it is ADP, it is. But what's your thoughts on this?
He's a streamer for me. I think he's someone that we're going to be talking a lot about on Fab episodes in season because I don't think MJ Melendez, he definitely doesn't deserve to play against lefties. No. And I don't think he will. He has been horrific against lefties. Yeah. Yep. Agreed. So MJ Melendez, yeah, I agree with Steamer in that MJ Melendez is better than the 206 with 17 home runs that we saw last season. Again, this is still someone age 26 can improve, but I think there's a pretty big playing time cap there, and that concerns me. And there's no given that he will actually improve. I think the batting average definitely does, but he still has not hit 20 home runs in a major league season, which is not good.
To be fair, they haven't projected for 115 games, which is the lowest of his career. So maybe they already put him in the platoon. That's why his numbers
are that would be good. Better. Yeah, because usually, usually these plate appearance or even innings projections are a little higher than my liking. But that makes sense for MJ.
Yeah, if he's platooning with either Renfro, I think still might be every day. So maybe Joey Weimer, who they has acquired, he'd be the perfect platoon partner with, and everyone is happy in that
situation. FPAS legend. FPAS 21?
My first one. That's my 22. First ever one. First ever one. So it was post was 21. I think it was the post-COVID one. So yeah, that was it. Joey.
The entire stadium, like 100 people. Our section. We're all chanting Joey Weimer's name just because the beautiful locks of hair, everything the about
hustle,
him.
Everything about him. Then he gets plunked and I stood up and I turned into a dad.
At a baseball you did. You became an angry like youth parent.
Don't hit my kid. It was good.
That was a scene, people. That was that was fun.
It was. All right. Xander Bogaerts, another one that big batting average, power declined to 11 home runs this past year, which left him with a 95 WRC plus. For a guy that from 2023 to 2015 had a 111 WRC plus or better in all but one season where it was 95. So he's had a 95 or better every year since 2015, which is still very, very good. But the point is he's been above average for about 7 or 8 years out of nine. They haven't projected him to go back to 114 this year, battling that injury last year, hopefully healthy. I don't disagree with it, but he's still getting older, which makes me kind of question things because I think the overall dominance of Bogaerts taking a few steps back. But at the same time, I'm not opposed to the projection either.
He's kind of like, I don't know if Dansby Swanson's the best comp, but
they just like Dansby, by the way.
Just a shortstop that plays and compiles when obviously he missed the 2 months last year with that like broken shoulder, but Bogaerts gets you a little bit of everything. I think that continues. Swanson with a better batting average. I like Xander Bogaerts quite a bit, even though the ceiling is not what it was. I don't even know if he can hit 20 home runs anymore, but if he can go upper teens homers, mid teens steals and hit, I mean, he's been a batting average asset. If you take out last year, the last four seasons above 285 every year, like that's really good. Qualifies at second and short. Yep. Good lineup. I like all that stuff with Xander Bogaerts. So
150-ish ADP doesn't crush you.
That's fine. Yeah.
He's like 25 picks, 30 picks ahead of Swanson. So depends on like what you're talking about there and on the kind of comp between the two. So definitely, I don't mind Bogaerts at all. It's just nothing. You're not going to get this, 20-20, 30-30 guy that some people once thought he would be when he was younger. Yeah. That's not
the only thing I would add is like, I feel like Bogaerts is hurt every single year and playing hurt, even though he racks up plate appearances, like he plays hurt every single year.
Yep.
Like there still could be one season where he actually is healthy. I don't know how likely that is. He's turning 32. Like
that's what I'm saying. It's getting tougher and tougher to bounce back these days.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not convincing you, but I'm just saying like I don't know. I can dream on it. I can dream on Xander.
You could. He could give us the season we all hoped Thyro would last year, so it's okay.
Oh.
Lou Bob. Never. Not in my heart. Lou Bob, next on the list here, 84 WRC plus last year with his 14 homers and 23 steals and .224 average, which honestly, probably better than most thought he actually did do last year in 100 games. 100. I want to mention for only the second time in his career. Now we have Steamer projecting him for a 103 WRC plus, which when people think Lou Bob, basically a league average ball player is not what comes to mind, which is devastating. But they have him for 150 games, which would be the most of his career. They have him for almost a 30-30 season. I'm just going to flat out say this projection is very, very optimistic.
I think I agree. I'm not a Luis Robert guy. I've never drafted him. I doubt I will draft him this year. I just wonder, for as horrific as 2024 was, that outside of the stolen bases, that's what saved the season. I mean, he missed 2 months with the hip. Like, how was he right at all in 2020? Like, could we just throw away 2024 and go back to what Steamer projected in, a year ago? I don't know what that was, but that's the case for Luis Robert, right? Is this was a lost season. This is someone who was going, how was he going in drafts last year? Like
he was in the 2-3 second or third round. Easy.
Right. Right. And someone going in the second or third round a year ago is still just 27 years old and is now going 93. Like
it's a tough one. He's ADP is closer to 100 this year, which is nice. But I'm very, very skeptical to what's going to take place there. All right, a couple more on the gainers of this one. Adley Rutschman, 104 WRC plus last year, 123 this year. It's been well documented the struggles for Adley in this, like after he got hit on the wrist. So this one I could definitely see as a possibility of kind of reverting back to 2022, 2023, if you believe it.
Yep. And that's one thing I don't know is, does Seymour know these injuries happen?
Like, that's a great question.
I don't know. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. But I had Adley's forecaster box, and I kind of threw this out on Twitter, was looking at the first half, second half split, and it's pretty like stark what happened before and after he was hit in the hand with that like foul tip, and didn't, I think, missed, like, stayed in the game, maybe missed one game, but it like, that's kind of the only thing you can look at and say that's what drove that. I think you can, and I put this in the forecaster, I think you can take that first half line, if you're being super optimistic, which was a .294 batting average, 15 homers, tons of run and RBI. If you could times that by two for Adley Rutschman and get, sure, and be, not to slight your boy Willie, but could be the number one catcher this season.
It's William, by the way. William. When you're the king, you pronounce their surname William.
King William? Do we have to say King William?
Let me just say, we've got Prince King. I don't care. The best catcher in baseball is all that really matters.
You still like King William over Adley, I'm assuming.
Oh, yes. 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 Not even. I guess it's close. I shouldn't say not even close, but it's, yes, close. It's close. I'll at least be, I won't be completely, you know, on the shtick here and say, no, it's close. I'll be honest with that. It's not close with Will Smith, but we all know
hey,
that.
Hey, that's a bridge too far.
Yeah, just saying. All right. The last one here, I just want to highlight him. We've talked about him in some other shows, but J-Rod, Julio Rodriguez, still finished like with a 116 WRC plus last year with his 20 homers, 24 steals, third straight 2020 season, .273 average. Like, the stat line was really not bad. It was just bad for a top three pick, but really not a bad stat line. Yep. They got him projected for a 135 WRC plus, and I'm all over like that. If you can get, I agree. I like Carroll more, but zero problems with J-Rod. I think a bounce back's very, very viable.
That's what I was going to say too. So I made that comment about Carroll before. I think Carroll's a legit fringe top five pick, whereas Julio should still be going in the first round this season. I thought the underlying power was still there for Julio. Did not run as much in the second half, only seven steals, but he had an ankle injury, pretty nasty ankle injury in July. So he pretty much just shut down the running game. I think that comes back. The track record, there are, you probably put on one hand how many 24-year-olds have a track record that Julio Rodriguez has. I just think you bank on that and you get, you, I think, pretty easily get to a rebound season for Julio. Maybe not quite to what he had in 2023, where he went 32 homers, 37 steals, but I think he could approach 30-30. Again, I would have no problem with that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there's a definite chance, and if not, 2020 looks like it's a lock, barring an injury, so which that's always a nice thing to be able to pencil in the first round. All right, let's go to the fallers on this side of things here, and I'm not even going to talk much on this. If you want to, you're welcome to, but Aaron Judge had a 218, Remember, league average is 100, folks. 218 WRC plus in 2024. They still have him projected for 170, which is asinine. And I don't disagree with it. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Like, the dude, we said it time and time again, if healthy, which he's done like two out of the last 3 years, literally is one of the best hitters in all of baseball.
Yep. For fantasy. Yep. Three out of the last 4 years, really. 630 plus plate appearances in three of the last four seasons. Yet we're still, and it's still in the back of my mind, I don't know why, still worried about him getting injured. Maybe just because he's so big and it has happened multiple times.
And he's getting older than people think.
I know. But from a purely numbers perspective, yes, Aaron Judge, I think should be a top three pick.
I'm finally there. I'm with you though. Like, I still think about it every time. I think it's more so because it's like the pessimist going, I know my luck. The year I take him is when he's going to get hurt again. That's the stupidity. Well, that's just dumb. But that happened to Acuna. I had Acuna a lot last year too. So there you go.
I mean, it happened to Judge too. Remember that? I mean, the year after his 62 home run season in 2023, hit .267, still at 37 home runs. But like, this has happened to Judge coming off a, again, gargantuan historic season. It hasn't been there. I think people are just kind of worried about that. But
bracing from for impact.
Exactly. But from a pure, like, if you take emotions and bias out of it, I think Judge is a top three pick. I did, at full disclosure, I took J-Ram over Judge in our Gladiator at five. He fell in our Gladiator. some of that was I took Judge.
Do as I say, not as I do, everybody.
I took saying? Judge. I don't want to have this. I don't want to have Judge on every team. I took Judge in my first draft of the year at number three. So I wanted to diversify a bit. That's my excuse. I'm sticking to it.
And the Gladiator, you want to knock on wood, pray for health more than anything. So a little bit of a viability there. Brent Rooker, 164 WRC plus last year at his monster season where he hit 39 homers, stole 11 bases, drove in 112, which for the Athletics, impressive, and hit 293, the most impressive part of this whole thing. Projected for a 127 WRC plus, power's there, speed's there, it's just a big drop in average. That's the biggest deterrent in the RBIs, of course. And honestly, I'm totally fine with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's still this makes sense. This is projecting Brent Rooker to come off of a career year and still be a good hitter, which I think is right. I we've talked about Rooker a little bit already, but I think most of the regression will come via batting average. I don't think the home run total falls off that much, especially going from Oakland, leaving Oakland. So I think it's going to be mostly batting average, which does kind of drag down right runs and RBI and that sort of thing. But Brent Rooker, I think, is still damn good. The key question, I think, to watch with Brent Rooker this draft season, will he play the outfield and pick up in-season outfield eligibility, and at what time will he do that?
Crossing our fingers, because we talked about it in one of the news and notes over on the old Patreon that he was kept to DH basically due to his injuries, and those are supposed to be healed for 2025.
Great Twitter follow, by the way.
Brent Rooker, phenomenal Twitter follow. Yes, he's got a future in the entertainment part of the game when things are said and done. Marcell Ozuna, 154 WRC plus last year, coming off of 39 homers, 40 home runs the year before, back-to-back 100 RBI seasons, hit 302. So if that regresses just a bit, I think we're good. The power is a 30-plus home run bat. They got him for a 123 WRC plus. I see no issues there. I think that's probably a good floor with Marcell Ozuna.
Agreed. Pretty much everything I said about Rooker could apply to Ozuna, except I think the batting average is better with Ozuna. I think Ozuna is a better hitter. Who would you take between those two?
I'd take Ozuna. And I like Rooker both UT a lot. Only. Yeah, Ozuna's got a 67 ADP and Rooker's got a 77. So there you go.
They're right next to each other. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. The market agrees. So, and I mean, that's a common thing with these, and Bobby Witt's on here, Otani's on here. I don't know.
I was going to say, this is going to be a quicker side.
Like, it's just guys coming off of like epic seasons to still be very good. And so, yeah.
Jock Jams is one I do want to talk about though, because coming off a 23 homers, 275 average in the desert, going to be a free agent. He had a 151 WRC plus this past year, the best of his career. He's been about 100 guy or like a 1 to 130 throughout his career. So he's been average to above average for the most part, but they got him back to 125 this year. Again, free agent. We don't know the landing spot, but it's one of those, like one of these years, it feels like Jock's going to let us all down. But he does. He hit for average this past year. It's like every other year he hits for average. He's just a very tough guy to nail down. He's going to platoon. What's your thoughts on this one?
Right. And there's like, I don't think there's any chance, no matter where Jock signs, that he will be an everyday player. I could be wrong on that, but maybe if like the White Sox sign him, but why would the White Sox sign Jock Peterson? So, I agree with the fallback for Peterson. I think you mentioned the kind of on again, off again, batting average, the home runs. I think he was a little bit ahead of his skis. I think it's just kind of a gentle pullback across the board from Peterson, which is fine. It's just, it's hard to draft him. Like, I mean, we talked about Jock every week in Fab because it was just whether or not Arizona or whichever team that he's going to be on, how many righties are they facing that week or half week?
340 ADP. Though, that's fun for a DC. That's not
what is it? 340.
Yeah. That's very doable in a DC.
Yeah, that's
play the matchups.
That's doable. Yep, that's doable.
Okay, Bobby Witt Jr. going from 168 to 142, and I'm going to pair him with Shohei from 181 to 156. I don't have a whole lot to add there besides they're both elite when healthy.
Yep, agreed.
All right, Jerickson Profar, though, on this other hand here, 139 WRC plus coming off that historic All-Star season, reverting back to a 116 WRC plus, which would be the second best of his career. After last year's 139, he's only had above 100 WRC plus three other times before last season. So keep that in mind if you're looking at this. But they got him for 18 homers, 7 steals, and 258 average. Still looking for a home. That'll be interesting. But I kind of agree with the stat line. Maybe the power is still a little too high at this point of his career. Maybe not. Maybe he found something. So maybe this is a fair WRC plus, honestly, but I don't know. I'm still a bit skeptical of what we saw jump on the page last year.
This is where I'm going to be stubborn, right?
Well, I was an anti-Profar the whole time.
I've been Profar the whole time. I'm a hater, man.
Yep.
I don't know. Like, it did happen, and congrats to Profar. But how many times does this actually happen where someone with like 10 years of major league experience just randomly goes off? I don't know. I'm not.
Former number one prospect.
Yes, that is.
Was the topic of a great panel at First Pitch Arizona.
That is also true. That is also true. Who is the next Jurickson Profar?
That is the question.
I think I took Profar in our meatball draft.
Jeez. That'd be so great if you did.
I'm pretty sure. I gotta look it up now.
Your second draft of the year after all the trash talk he is in your team.
I think he fell like quite a bit. Hold up. I know no one cares, but
I do. I care very
you
much
care. So after, you after care, the, so after we all the care.
Comments you made.
Did I draft his ass?
I hope you did. If he did, this will be just
got him. Poetic.
Yep, got there him. There we go. Beautiful.
19th round. So what is that? 18 times 15 plus 3. That's a 273 ADP.
Yeah. And his ADP is 227 right now in DCs. He's gone as high as 147, as low as 256. So on paper, you quote unquote got a deal.
I mean, I got the max. I'll take anyone at their max.
Yeah. Let me see what the Gladiators are, see if it differs just for fun now, because I really want to know how you did this. 215. 215, low 259. So you got it.
So, like, I'll take anyone at the max. I don't care who they are.
Really? Well, let's do a max draft.
I mean, you wouldn't. I mean, you would, too.
Yeah, most everybody. I wouldn't say everybody.
I mean, we could
set some fun maxes. I'll hold you to that. We could have fun.
But I mean, in general, like anytime you can get someone that.
I agree. Completely agree. Just
so I would not take Profar in the. Yes, I am the max. If you look at all 21 drafts so far, 273 is the latest he's ever gone. And that's
amazing.
To yours truly. So that's I guess that's a learning. I could be so off on a guy, but still take him because the market gave it to me.
As the Million Dollar Man once said, everyone's got a price. So
that's true.
There you go.
That's a good pull.
Yep. Tyler O'Neill. Talk about everyone's got a price. So does the doctor's bill. 131 WRC plus in 2024, again, in 113 games, which is the second most of his career. So that says a lot. Two times he's played over 100 games in his career. Two times he's hit at least 30 home runs. It's like Snell with the Cy Young, just throwing it out there. But he's projected for a 109 WRC plus, 25 homers in 126 games. Man, if it's just how much do you want to play games with the injury history? Plus, he's a free agent.
Right. Like, you can both agree with. I actually think, I don't even know if Tyler O'Neill falls back that much. I think on a per game basis, like, I think what we saw last year from O'Neill, he made a pretty tangible change in his swing to basically sell out for home runs. He had a 10-point jump in fly ball rate and a 10-point drop in contact rate, which is pretty obvious what's going on there. So, like, I think Tyler O'Neill could repeat what he did in 2024, except for plate appearances. I wouldn't even do 470 again. Like, I can't sign up for the fragility of Tyler O'Neill.
Well done. Yeah, that's my thing. I'm pretty just out on taking that gamble right now. So I'm going to move on from that one. Teoscar Hernandez, on the other hand, I am really curious to see when he re-signs with the Dodgers. I don't know why he wouldn't, but.
Did you say when?
He won't. Yeah. 134 WRC plus in 2024. Projected for only 113, which kind of surprised me, like 106 in 2023. But prior to that, was just a machine for 3 years. He reverted back to it in 2024. And I guess maybe they're just being safe because they don't have the landing spot as a free agent. But if the dude plays 150 games on the Dodgers again, like, I don't see how he doesn't have another monster season.
Agreed. This is one I do not agree with Steamer on. I think Teoscar is – I think he can repeat what he did last year, especially if he stays in L.A. The one down season that you mentioned was with Seattle, where all hitters go to die. Teoscar kind of kicked dirt on the grave of Seattle in the World Series. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
Some quotes. He was not happy.
He let people know that it was not fun. I have a feeling I could see Randy reiterating those quotes within the next year or two.
Yeah. 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 Depressing times. But yeah, Steamer is, I'm sure, factoring in age, right? Teoscar will be 32. You will at some point start to see some decline, but I think it would be very light. I think Teoscar Hernandez is awesome. I think I took him in the Gladiator in like the fourth round, something like that. So
that's a good pick.
I believe.
Yep, ADP 77 in November DC is as high as 54, as low as 87. So yeah, you fit inside the pocket if you did, that's for sure. All right, a couple more here. Ketel Marte coming off a great year with a 151 WRC plus, 35 home runs. That is a career high for Ketel Marte. Almost 190 runs in RBIs, which is outstanding. Hit 292, which he has not done anything close to since 2021. Projected for a 132 WRC plus this next year. So some regression in the power department, some regression in the batting average. I think it's a very fair line that leaves some possibility for success.
Yeah, I mean, it's projected to go back to 132. I mean, that's still higher than Rooker, yes. Ozuna, Profar, slightly below Bobby Witt. So, like, Steamer's still saying Ketel Marte is going to be really good, and I can see why. Like, the skills basically support everything that Ketel Marte did last year. Like, I'm looking at his forecaster box right now. It's 32 home runs, 32 expected home runs based on StatCast. So pretty much good. There. 292 batting average, 294 expected batting average. 7 steals, 8 expected steals. Like, the skills were right there with what Ketel Marte did. So and I don't even know if volume's that big of an issue with Marte anymore. 550 plus plate appearances each of the last 3 seasons. Been dinged up a little bit, but nothing too crazy lately.
It was a 550 safe. I don't think we ever get the 650 to 700 guy that some other top of the order bats get. That's just not going to happen because the back issue did still flare up. Like, even late in the year, they said he asked for a day off because it just got so he needed one. So that will happen from time to time. Jaron Duran, 129 WRC plus this last year, 21 homers, 34 steals, 285 average, back to back years of at least a 120 WRC plus. They got him dropping to 111. A few home runs less, but the almost a 20-point batting average drop. I do not agree with this at all.
HQ doesn't really either. We've got like a 10-point drop, so 275, something like that. I think because WRC plus doesn't care how many games you play. That's the thing I'm worried about falling back is plate appearances, right? Why? 735 plate appearances. That's what I'm worried about is the health. But I'm not worried really at all about the per game, per plate appearance production from Jaron Duran. He's awesome. He's been awesome. It's just been, is he available? Is he healthy?
Yep, I'm with you. I'm still fine with it. These boards are fun all the time, but when you see the guy right below Jaron Duran with a 129 WRC plus and a projected 111 WRC plus, then you see the name Luke Raley. That stands out in a big way. And Raley's coming off 22 homers and 11 steals, back-to-back double, they had 19 and 14 the year before, 243 average. Honestly, I could see that same stat. I know it's Seattle, it's tricky, but he did it there last year for one. He's projected for a very similar line, but a drop in batting average is the biggest thing there, and a drop in games, a lot of drop in games from last year, almost a 30-point drop in games played, which I don't completely fall in line with. But I'm a fan of Luke Raley, first base outfield eligible. 111. Well, he did it last year, so why should I argue with it? But he's done it back to back here, so 111 might be a little low, honestly, if he gets the playing time.
Agreed. Kind of similar to Jaron Duran. I'm not putting him in the same boat. Don't clip that one. But Luke Raley has had a double digit barrel rate his entire career. The last two seasons, he's been over 80% successful on the base pass, and so given that power speed, he's still hitting in the 240s. That is awfully, awfully useful for someone who is first base and outfield. So, I would guess Raley's going earlier than Jock Peterson. The platoon is still there. That's going to cap Luke Raley's value. But I think Luke Raley is really good.
He's going 35 picks earlier, 305 ADP. I got him in my recent DC because first base sucks. He's first base outfield. I'll take that all day long.
So he's only 30 picks ahead of Jock Peterson?
Yeah, 35 picks ahead of Jock, yeah.
I don't even think they're close.
I take Raley all day.
Yeah,
agreed. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. All right, a couple more here. I don't have a whole lot to say on the next two because I think we've talked about Seiya Suzuki so much on this show, but 138 WRC plus this last year, projected for 121. Second half surge like the previous year. If he puts the full season together, this dude is a legit beast. 121, I'll just say, is probably a very good floor. I'm pretty confident in Suzuki barring health.
Yep, because a lot of it has been, I mean, health is the big thing. It's been obliques a couple years in a row, and he's playing with it, and that drags it down. And again, I think Steamer is probably taking that into account, right? Because that is his stats. So, I think a healthy Seiya Suzuki is, we love Seiya. I'll leave it at that.
That's why I don't have a lot to say. We're very biased on this show on Seiya Suzuki.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, to show how awesome he is, let's see, where's he going in ADP? He's going right next to Brenton Doyle.
Yeah, I remember because I took him in the meatball, and then I realized Suzuki went the next pick, and I kind of had second thoughts on life.
Suzuki's next to Brenton Doyle, just ahead of Brian Reynolds, Santander, Butler. I would take Seiya over all those guys.
Yep, that's fair. All right, Francisco Lindor, 137 WRC plus this past year. Projected for 122, another 2020 season on tap. Missed 30-30 for the second straight year by one stolen base. He's had back-to-back just monster seasons, or actually three straight really, really good seasons. 121 WRC plus or better in three straight years. So 122, I think, agrees with a very good floor, Ryan, with tons of upside.
Yeah. Steamer does not like Lindor compared to the other first-round options that you might have. I think Lindor is... he's just fine. A repeat is certainly attainable, if not even more in the power department. Like, the power skills actually took a pretty big step forward, especially in the second half. So Lindor's awesome. I feel like he's older than I think he is. He's still only 31, so he's not getting up there yet. So
yeah, I hope, like last year, people were down on him. It allowed him to keep falling even after a 30-30 year. So that's cool. If people want to do it again, I'm totally, totally cool with that. Means more Lindor in March for me, but I don't think they'll fall that much this year. All right, last one here is Lindor's teammate, Mark Vientos, 133 WRC plus this last year after 27 home runs and a 266 average over 111 games. Nice coming out party plus a great postseason. Projected to have a 119 WRC plus with 35 homers because he plays in 150 games, 248 average. Like, I honestly think, those numbers are pretty fair, actually.
Those are fair. Yeah. What's the batting average projection?
248. So it's a drop from that's probably reasonable. Like, I'm 25 years old. I could maybe still a bit high according to some, but it's a drop from the 266 in 2024.
Yeah. I think that's where it falls for Vientos. I don't know if he's like a 266 hitter. I think that could drop 20, 30 points, but I think the power is
very legit.
Is very, very legit. Agreed. I think he's a 30 home run cat.
Yep, 30 home run cat. I like that. That's good. Kind of like Andres Galarraga, who apparently was not one of the top five home runs hitters for Colorado Rockies history.
What?
Oh yeah,
Family Feud. Family Feud. I was like, where are you pulling that from? Why did you just say that?
It still like bums me out that was not an answer. Yeah. You had to be there, folks.
That was a tough loss.
We won overall, though. All right, that wraps us up. That wraps up WRC Plus Steamer versus 2024. Any final thoughts looking at the list? Because, to me, the regression list still leaves some outstanding seasons that I'd sign up for right now. So, the way I kept saying floor, if that's what we agree, Steamer has the floor, I'm there for these numbers.
But that's also a lot of times that's the tough part about this game is everyone knows that Brent Rooker and Ozuna is a pro far is going to fall back. It's just, how much, right? The regress to what question is always there. And that's the part you need to nail I take him at 100 ADP. I wouldn't take him at 80 type of a question. That's what's tough to kind of get to.
That's the tough part. And that's where our future episodes of position previews and our pockets of ADP, hopefully narrow all that fun stuff down for you to get things going. But hopefully our first look at Steamer, pitchers, then hitters. I've got you guys going on this. We'll have more probably projection discussions in the coming weeks. Coming up for you later this week, a little draft and hold conversation once again. Post 500 ADP draft. We'll have that coming for you. Any other final thoughts before we head out, Ryan?
No, that's it. I'm done.
Perfect. That'll do it. That'll wrap up another episode of Bubba and the Bloom. Make sure you check out the Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaBloom. Join the Discord. Have some fun over there. Until next time, this was Bubba in the Bloom, episode 192. Catch you all later.